by your word. And we thank you for it now in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now that's interesting. That's what I say. Let's check this out. Hallelujah. Yeah. That's good. Need to do that every once in a while. Amen? Okay, check this out. In Deuteronomy, and I know I gave you guys the scriptures, but in Deuteronomy, they're all looking at me like, yeah? Okay, check this out. This is so good. Deuteronomy 31, verse 8. Deuteronomy 31, verse 8. Oh, you do have it. Hallelujah. Okay. We're talking about all in, right? We want to be all in for Jesus. Amen?
Amen?
That's our focus for the year. All in. Well, we can't be all in unless we recognize God is all in for us. Do you hear me? If you don't know that God is all in, that he has your best in store, it's hard for you to say, I'm all in. So this morning, I want us to hear from the word that says that God is all in for us. Because once you realize that, once you recognize that God is all in for you, you might say, hey, I'm all in for God. Matter of fact, I want to share a story. Humbling story about being all in. Friday, I hopped in my car. I went to turn it on. It went and stopped. The doors were locked. I was in my car. I was all in my car. Okay? Now, if any of you know me, I have a good mechanical mind. I understand mechanical things. I've rebuilt motors, and I've been in construction, and so, I think pretty good. I sat there in my car, clicking to open up the lock. It didn't open. I thought, oh my gosh, I'm stuck in my car. I'm clicking it. To make matters worse, I called my son-in-law, who had just left the house, and said, Daniel, I'm stuck in my car. I took a dumb pill for a moment, right? I'm serious. I was all in. And I thought, for sure, there's no way out. And in my mind, I'm thinking, boy, this is really a sad situation that I'm in my car waiting for my son-in-law to come open it up. And then, lo and behold, I looked down. Oh, and I even tried to open the handle, right? It didn't open. I looked down, and I saw the lock latch. Oh, it opens. I don't know where I was, what I was thinking, but I was not, right? It was a sad moment. When I told Dan, he said, I won't tell anybody. I said, oh no, this will preach. I was all in. I thought I couldn't get out. All it takes, right? Oh, wow. Hallelujah. Okay, so with that in mind, now that I've shared a wonderful testimony, Deuteronomy 31:8. Is it there? I just put new batteries in too. Last week it was kind of doing this. We're going to check this out. Do we need to toss this in the river of life? I got a river of life flowing out. What's that? Okay, let me know. We'll see. Don't leave me. I'm calling. Get me out. Oh, okay. Is that? Well, it was a sad moment in my life. Okay, it's still kind of doing that. Yeah, okay. Well, we'll see what happens. I do have a mic if need be, but we'll see. All right, so here we go. Anyone listening to this, disregard my senior moment. Deuteronomy 31:8. And the Lord, listen to this. He is the one who goes before you. The Lord, he's the one that goes before you. He will not leave you, he will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed. Do you hear that, church? Yes. He is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed. I'm telling you right there, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that you don't leave me. You don't forsake me. By the way, that means never. Do you hear me? That means never. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. I don't care where you're at, what you're doing. I don't care how good, how bad, how indifferent. He will never leave you. That, to me, is incredible. In my darkest moment, I know he'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. He'll never walk away. He'll never say, ah, that's too much. You've done it for the last time. I can't be here. He won't do that. Now, I know that this is Old Testament, but what I love about this verse is that it's New Testament as well. In Hebrews 13, check this out. Oh, it's so good. Paul writes to the church, or to the group known as Hebrews, and he says this in 5, let your conduct be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. That right there is a sermon, right? Let your conduct be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. Why? For he himself has said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Do you hear? So rather than looking at other people and saying, oh God, but they have, I want, right? He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Both Old Testament, New Testament, it's a word for us, church. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. What are some of the things that you're going through? Think about it. What are the things that you're going through right now that you just wish, oh, I wish God was with me? He is. He is. He's not walking away. He's with you. When we know that, we can, it changes, hopefully, the way we think about our situation. This whole idea, all in, I believe it's a God thing for us for this year for a reason, because he wants us to know, first and foremost, that he is all in for us. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He's all in. There's nothing that he won't do. He'll come right alongside you. When we know that, when we have a confidence about his focus towards us, then all of a sudden I can say, I'm all in for God. Check this out in Jeremiah 29. You know this. Sounds like another worship service coming on. Okay. Yeah, the angels. Another one got their wings. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. If you haven't watched It's a Wonderful Life, you're missing out. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the thoughts, listen to this. For I know the thoughts I think towards you, says who?
The Lord.
Says who?
The Lord.
Oh, come on. Says who?
The Lord.
The Lord, right? I know. So God's talking. I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Isn't that wonderful that God has you on his thoughts? Oh my gosh. The God of all creation thinks about you. Come on. He thinks about you. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of what? peace. Oh, I love it. And not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Aren't you glad? God has thoughts of peace towards us. He has a future towards us. Now, in Jeremiah, he is speaking to the children of Israel because they're going into 70 years of captivity. And he says, I have thoughts towards you of peace and of hope. I believe he says the same to us today. I have thoughts towards you of peace and hope, right? To give you a future and a hope. Then, say then. So knowing that God thinks about you, knowing that God has a plan for you and that he has a future for you, then, see, first you've got to know that, right? When you know that, then what? Then you will call upon me. Oh, when I know that he's all in for me, then I'm going to call on him. But if I don't know he's all in for me, I may not call on him. I may call my friend, right? I may call the doctor. I may call the lawyer. I may call the psychiatrist, right? But when I know that he's all in, when I know that his thoughts are towards me, then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will what? I will listen. Don't you love that? I mean, I've talked to people where there's just a blank, like, look on their eye. I know they're not even listening, right? Have you done that?
Oh, yeah.
Come on, right? Maybe it's been your kids, maybe your spouse, I don't know, maybe your coworker. You're talking and you've got something really important to say and their eyes are glazed over, right? And they're just waiting for your conversation to be done. I'm so glad that God listens. He doesn't get glossed over eyes and say, yada, 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 right? God doesn't do that. He says, bring it on, bring it on. Tell me more, right? Come on, that's God, and that's what he's saying right here. Then you will call upon me. Then, because I know he's all in, then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I'll listen to you. Church, why aren't we praying to a listening God? Come on. He's listening. Pray. Talk to him. And, verse 13, you will seek me. You will seek me. You will seek me. Remember when you were kids seeking for something? Maybe you were seeking just for a friend. Lord, I just wish I had a friend. And you just kept pressing. I'm going to seek for that. Maybe your parents hid something and gave you a map and you just sought after it until you found it. But we're going to pray and he'll listen and we're going to seek him. We're going to press in, right? We're not going to stop. We're going to keep pressing in. I'm going to seek him. Because he says, and you find me. It's not hide and seek. Right? God isn't hiding from us and thinking, they can't find me. That's not God. Pray. Right? You're going to, then you will call upon me. You're going to pray. I'm going to listen. You're going to seek me and you're going to find me. What? When you search for me with what? All your heart. Now, you and I both know that this heart does no seeking. All this heart does is beat and pump blood. But he's talking about our mind, right? The center of who we are. When I seek him with all of my thoughts. And that's tough, isn't it? Because when you and I start seeking God, think about the thoughts that come into our head that say he's not going to answer. What about so and so? You did it like this for them. Why not for me? You mustn't be listening. You hear what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Come on. I am so thankful that God is a personal God. that he loves each one of us, and he has something unique planned for each one of us, and he works in each one of our lives unique. He knows exactly what you need and what I need. He knows exactly how long I need to wait in an area and how soon he's going to bring it to pass. And the way he works in my life is different than the way he works in your life, and the way he works in your life is different than the way he works in my life. And sometimes we look at one another and say, God, why don't you do that? And God says, because you're not them. Because I love you, and I've got something unique and special for you. Come on, church. We got to get our eyes off one another and on God. He says that we are to seek him. He says that we'll find him. He says that we'll find him when we search for him with all our heart. And we've used this scripture before, 2 Corinthians 10:5, take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Philippians 4:8, think on these things. Whatever is just, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is wholesome, whatever is of good report, think on these things. Church, if we would get our minds renewed in Christ Jesus and we begin to think how he wants us to, and that's why this word is so important. If we don't get this word, now we say get the word in our heart. Again, remember, I want this word in my mind. Our heart, it's spoken of as the center of our being. Our mind really is the center. My body does nothing except that my mind tells it what to do, right? My heart can't say hand move. It's the brain. So that's the center of who I am. That's kind of the motherboard, if you will. And this will not function without input. My mind gets input and my body functions. So if I put this into my mind, all of a sudden it's going to function differently, right? I'm not going to get jealous. I'm not going to be envious. I'm not going to covet. I'm not going to be prideful. I'm not going to boast, right? Because the word tells me that those things are in opposition to God. I want the mind of Christ. Okay, so let's go to Romans. Oh, this is good. This is incredible. Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8. God's all in. He's all in for you. And when you know that, when you really know it, you'll be all in for him. Verse 5 of Romans 5, or excuse me, verse 6. For when we were still without strength, in due time, what were we talking about earlier? God's timing. In due time, Christ died for the ungodly. It was the right time when Jesus came. And it's the right time when he comes in your life. It's the right time. Verse 6 or 7. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. Now listen to this. We look at that and we say, what does that mean? The idea is for a righteous person, that's someone that's respected. Someone that's righteous is respected, right? So for a respected person, I don't know that person. They're respected, they're righteous. I wouldn't die. But for a good person, someone might. Good is, the idea is maybe someone that we love. So for a righteous person, no one's going to die for that. But for someone we love, we might. Right? We might die for that person, right? I might take a bullet for my wife. I hope I would. We say that, but what happens when that actually comes? I don't know. And that's what Paul is saying. Perhaps for a good person, someone would dare to die. Now listen to this. But, say but.
But.
Come on, say it loud. But God demonstrates, say that.
God demonstrates.
Okay, but God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were sinners, while we hated him, that's what that is, while we hated him, Christ died for us. He's all in. He's all in. Scarcely Would you die for someone? But God so loved us that even while we hated him, would you die for someone that hates you? I'm going to be honest. I really, really doubt it, right? If I knew someone hated me, again, flesh rises up. They deserve that. Come on, I'm just speaking from the flesh, and you all would say the same thing, right? They deserve that. God didn't. God loves us so much, he didn't say, they deserve that. They didn't listen to me. They deserve that. No. He said, I love them so much, I'm sending my son. That's love. He is all in. He is all in, church. So you can be all in with him. You can give your all to him knowing that he's given his all for you. If you don't know he's given his all for you, phooey on him, right? He's got no skin in the game, right? Come on. What's he mean to me? He's done nothing for me. Why should I be all in for God? He's done nothing. But the fact of the matter is, he has done something. He's given his all for us. He's all in. He's got skin in the game. His son's skin, by the way. And so now you and I can say, I want to be all in with him. Because now we're united. Now all of a sudden, something's happened. There's a unity that takes place. That now we've got the power of the son. Right? And that's more powerful than the son. Come on. What do you say? I'm not going to leave you as orphans, but what? I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the Godhead. By the way, when I go, I'm leaving Holy Spirit with you. It's like me and everybody. Instead of going to church or the temple and see Jesus, you got me inside you by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Come on. Man, that's some, we should be shouting, come on. Thank you, Lord, for what you did. Thank you for giving your Holy Spirit. You're all in, right? You're all in. The day of Pentecost was the day of God saying, I'm all in. Here, Holy Spirit, fill them. Gosh. Oy vey. All right. Colossians, it gets better. It does. Oh my gosh, this is so good. Colossians, listen to this. 13, 14, and 15 of chapter 2. And you, say you. Oh, that's just me. Say me. Good, because you're all pointing at me when you said that. And you, being dead in your trespasses. And the uncircumcision of your flesh. Remember, circumcision was something that the male would do. The foreskin of the penis would be cut away. And what that did was it represented sin. It represented that my life is now all yours, God. And in the spiritual sense, there's a cutting away of sin in our life. And so that uncircumcision, it's like someone hasn't given up. They've not given over to God. They've not cut away the sin in their life. So here you've got this. In him we were, and being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh. In other words, I've allowed the sin to remain, right? He has made alive. Oh my gosh, he's all in. Even in my unrighteousness, even in my sinfulness, he's made me alive. He has made alive together with him, having forgiven all, say all. All your trespasses. Do you believe that? Yes. I mean, don't just say it. Do you believe it? Because yes. If you believe it, don't come up here and say, I don't think God can forgive me of this. That's a bunch of baloney. He forgives you for all. All. Until the day of my dad's death. I was in here praying with my dad. Oh, here, you know what? I got some water.
Oh, thanks.
You're welcome. I was in here 3 days or 4 days before my dad passed away. He called me and he knew he was going to be going to be with the Lord. He was sad and he regretted things. And to that day, he still said, I don't think God can forgive me for things that I did. And on the phone, I said, Dad, he has. And I told him this year after year after year. He has. You're forgiven. You're clean. You're new. And you're going to go be with him. Right? And we began to weep together. And then I hung up. And I thought, oh my gosh, I didn't pray with him. So I called back. And I walked around this church. I just prayed over my dad. I just prayed over him. Prayed and prayed and prayed. Oh, it was so incredible. So that when he passed, I knew in my heart, everything that needed to be said was said. There's no regret. Nothing missing. Thank you, Lord. All trespasses have been forgiven. Don't you walk out of here today. I don't want to hear your spouse, your friend, your coworker, anyone say, so-and-so came to me and said they don't think God can forgive him for this. Because that's a bunch of baloney. You didn't hear it here. Okay? Do not walk out of here. And if you need prayer, come up here and I'll pray with you and we'll shake that thing out of you. I'm serious. We can joke about it. I'm serious. We need to be free. And how do we know this? In verse 14, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us. There was a list of things against us. I don't know about you, but my list would go out through the parking lot and probably into the next city of things against me. But what, listen to this. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, he has taken it out of the way, having what? Nailed it to the cross. He nailed it to the cross. Every single stinking sin that has happened in your life and will happen is nailed right there. And Jesus took it. Well, not right there. That's just a symbol, right? But the cross of Jesus took it. Do you hear me? He took it. It's done. Don't live in that stuff. And then having disarmed. Oh, don't you hate it when people remind you about your stuff? Yes. Come on. Doesn't that just bug you? Man, people reminding me about this stuff. I don't need to hear it because when I hear it, I start thinking I can't do anything about it. I'm just a loser. I love what God says. Having disarmed principalities and powers, having disarmed, their voice is null and void in your life. Know that right now. The voice of the enemy is null and void. Take that thought that the enemy puts in there out of here. I'm cleansed by the blood of the cross. Jesus Christ died for me, and that's all I need. That's good enough for me. It's good enough for God. It's good enough for me. Amen? Amen. Come on, church. Oh. This has got to get in our head. We got to walk out of here new. Because if we don't, you're going to come back again next week. Okay, I'm such a loser. I was all in my car and I couldn't get out. Right? Come on. That dumb thing I did is the same dumb thing we all do. We think we're stuck in our sin and we can't get out. Come on. So see, you're all as dumb as I am. Serious. And I get dumb too. Not just with cars. I get dumb with my sin. I think that there's somehow God can't take care of it. He has. He says, get out. Here's the latch, Jesus. Right? Jesus. You're stuck in there with your key going, what am I going to do? I'm trying to figure it all out. Oh, yeah. Jesus, come on, having disarmed principalities and powers, I love this, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. When the Romans would conquer a city, they would then come into that city with a big processional, and they would just be rejoicing, and everyone would have to, okay, man, they're the victors, right? Jesus is the victor, and he comes into Satan's territory and says, come on, man, here's the procession, and you guys are all part of that processional, right? All of you, your lives are transformed because of Jesus Christ. If not, you need to right now, today, say, I need Jesus, right? You need to stop in your tracks and say, wait a minute. If I'm not part of the processional of those rejoicing in the blood of the Lamb, that he's cleansed me of my sin, that I'm forgiven for everything, you need to make that decision today. Today, you need to make that decision. Not tomorrow, not next week, today. Because you need to walk out of here today free from sin. Come on. We can't be all in unless we know he's all in. And when we know he's all in, then we can be all in. And when we're all in, our sin doesn't affect us.
Amen.
Come on. Now, our past sin. We don't want to sin. What does Paul say in Romans? Well, now that I know that there's grace, grace abounds, I'm not going to go sin because grace abounds, right? We don't sin because we know God's forgiven us in his son. That would be hypocrisy, right?
Right.
Yeah, we're not hypocrites.
Right.
I want to hear it. We're not hypocrites.
We're not hypocrites.
Good, good. So knowing that he set us free from sin, we don't walk in that sin anymore. So when that sin comes a-knocking, we can say, mm-mm, nobody's home. That guy or that gal is dead. He's no longer here. Right? Go knock on someone else's door. Because my door is closed. Come on. It takes work. Especially the habitual sins that we get involved in, right? Those things that are habits for us. It's hard, but you got to break it. And you got to say, no, I'm not going to allow this thing to remain in my life anymore. Jesus, I give you control. I give you control. Whew. Wow. So, do you know that God's all in for you? Do you know that God's all in for you?
Yes.
Okay. Now, like the pastor that would do a wedding and ask the questions and the spouse responds with, I do, right? Do you recognize that God is in with you?
I do.
Good, good. Now that you recognize that, will you be all in with God? I will, right? I will. Will you be all in for God?
I will.
Okay, good. Now, I didn't want to just hear that, but God heard it. Woo! That's good. No, it's good. I want to be all in, and I want him to hear that because I want him to know that my heart is for him. Now, does that mean I'm perfect? No. None of us are. But I know that he's with me. And he's going to help me. And when I stumble, he's there to pick me up because he's all in. And I love the fact that he's there to pick me up. And he's there to pick you up. You get it?
Yeah.
It's so important, church. Well, let's prepare to close. If I could have our worship team come up and get ready to close this in a song. I love listening to the song from Keith Green. That's powerful, man. That's powerful. Oh. Just kind of close your eyes and just think for a minute. Recognize that God is all in for you. He's all in. Let that just sink deep within your heart. God's all in. He loves me no matter what. I'm his. He thinks about me. He's all in. Now, this morning I asked if we would say the same thing. We're all in. And we responded, I do. If you're here this morning and you've not proclaimed Jesus Christ as your Lord, you've not accepted the work, the finished work of the cross, you can do that this morning and be all in. If that's you, would you just raise your hand and say, yeah, that's me. I need to be all in. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Father, I thank you this morning, Lord, that we can recognize that you're all in with us. Lord, there's nothing we can do that'll chase you away. You'll never leave us. You'll never forsake us. The handwriting that was against us is nailed to the cross. So if you're here this morning and you think that there's something you've done, some sin so gross that God can't forgive you, I'm telling you right now, he's taken care of it. He's nailed that sin to the cross, and Jesus Christ bore it for you. The penalty for that is taken care of. You're free. You're free. So, Father, I thank you this morning that in this room are a group of free saints. Lord, that we're free in Jesus. And so we can walk out of here with a heavy burden of sin lifted from us because you're all in our lives. We're free. And I thank you for it, Lord. May we walk from here knowing the freedom that we have in Jesus. May we walk from here knowing that others can have that same freedom. Lord, may we no longer carry the burden of our sin, but Lord, may we give it to you and allow you to keep it. We know that the voice of the enemy is just that. It's just a voice. We have your yes and amen that you've taken care of us. And we thank you for it now in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.